have had a lot of news and a lot of really significant events and developments in our community across the state and across the nation over the last couple of days. It's been difficult to keep track of all of it. Of course, locally, we've got the debate and the fallout surrounding the toppling of Silent Sam, other Confederate monuments in the news as well with the Historical Commission meeting yesterday. We've got the continued legal battle over their state constitutional amendments with the General Assembly going back to special session tomorrow to rewrite the questions for two of those. Of course, really significant developments in the ongoing scandal surrounding Donald Trump and the Mueller investigation with two convictions announced on Tuesday. And in the midst of all of that, something that we haven't even talked about here on the show all week, but going on in Congress is the debate over the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh to fill that vacancy on the U.S. Supreme Court. What do North Carolinians think about all of these developments? What do Americans think about all of these developments? How might this affect the run-up to the 2018 election, which we're turning our attention to now as well? We're joined now on the air to hopefully answer all of those questions and more by Tom Jensen, who is the director of public policy polling based out of Raleigh. Publicpolicypolling.com is their website. Find them online at PPP Polls. Tom, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Aaron. Good to be with you.
So let's start with the thing that we haven't really talked about on the air yet, which is the confirmation hearings for Brett Kavanaugh and the debate surrounding what the Senate should do if and when that confirmation, that nomination should come up for a vote. I know Public Policy Polling has recently done some surveys across the country, especially some particularly vulnerable senators in the 2018 elections and beyond. So what are Americans thinking about this?
Well, it's the least popular Supreme Court nomination in the history of recorded polling. I mean, usually when a president nominates a Supreme Court justice, people just sort of take it at face value that it's a highly qualified person. They wouldn't have been nominated to the Supreme Court otherwise, and they tend to sort of fall in line with whoever the president has chosen. And this really is an exception to that rule. We've seen several of the major national polls come out and find that more people disapprove than approve of the Kavanaugh nomination, which really is unprecedented, especially in comparison to the people who are on the Supreme Court right now. The furthest you go back to see a nomination that was this controversial in public opinion was Robert Bork in the 1980s, and certainly he ended up not getting confirmed, partially I think as an outgrowth of that. So big picture, he's the most unpopular nominee we've seen just in a very long time. And then we specifically this week did polls in Maine and Nevada. Nevada, because Dean Heller is probably the most vulnerable Republican senator in the country up for re-election this year. And then Maine, because Susan Collins has tended to be one of the more moderate Republicans. And what we found in both of these states pretty much matches well with the national numbers. 42% of voters in Maine think that Susan Collins should confirm Kavanaugh. 49% say that she shouldn't. So a 7-point margin against confirmation there. In Nevada, 42% of voters say that Dean Heller should vote to confirm Kavanaugh. 47% say he shouldn't. So really a very similar picture in both places. And there's a few things that we find that voters are particularly concerned about. One is simply the issue of all of Kavanaugh's documents being made ready for review before there ends up being a vote on his nomination. When you ask about that particular parameter of this issue, 62% of voters in Maine and 57% of voters in Nevada say that the U.S. Senate should complete a thorough review of Kavanaugh, including all documents from his time on the Court of Appeals in the White House before having a vote on the issue. So that process issue is part of what's coming into play here. And the other thing is simply that voters are concerned about how Kavanaugh would rule on pre-existing conditions, how Kavanaugh would rule on Roe versus Wade. And what voters say is that if he would vote to uphold the Trump administration on taking away protections for pre-existing conditions. If he would vote to overturn Roe versus Wade, then people really don't want him confirmed.
How strongly do people feel about this? Is this something, well, we're generally opposed to Brett Kavanaugh, but there are eight other issues that we care about more? Is this something that would actually, that people are actually following and would actually make the difference when they go to vote?
No, I think you sort of lead up where you talked about everything that you'd been talking about this week and said, and there's also the Supreme Court seat is sort of a microcosm of the thing. Like, in a normal world, this would be the biggest thing going on right now, but we're not living in a normal world. So I am skeptical that this is going to end up really being one of the defining issues this fall, just because there's so many other defining issues.
Now, speaking of not a normal world, then let's turn to the Mueller investigation and the ongoing Russia scandal. Another thing that we really didn't talk too much about on the air this week, for our purposes, because we're so local, we've been focused on Silent Sam all week long, but these are really, really significant developments, the Manafort conviction and the plea deal that Michael Cohen took, both within the same hour of each other on Tuesday. And when the history of all of this is written, it's possible that Tuesday might end up being one of the really significant days in the history of all of this. So where do voters stand now if this has changed their minds? I've seen one poll that said Robert Mueller's popularity rating just went up 11 points, and I've seen 100 other polls that say Donald Trump still has the same 42% approval rating he's had for a year and a half. So what is this doing in terms of moving the dial?
Well, it's sort of an interesting dichotomy on how different things are moving. Something that a lot of polling has seen in the last month is increased support for the Mueller investigation. So I think in that sense, as we see guilty pleas coming down and attention to that, there's more people saying, okay, this is a legitimate investigation. This isn't just a witch hunt. Let's let the investigation run its course. So on that front, you do see the numbers moving some. People sort of more seeing it as a legitimate investigation maybe than did before and taking it more seriously. But the flip side of it is we're still not really seeing any impact on Trump's approval numbers. As you say, the same 42% as always. So even though people are taking the investigation more seriously, that at least so far is not translating to declining numbers for Trump. And we've talked some in the past about sort of comparing Trump to Nixon and that kind of dynamic. Across the course of 1973, as there was sort of similar to now, new revelations all the time about Watergate and the Nixon administration's role in it and that kind of thing, his approval numbers really stayed very level. It wasn't until the bottom really dropped out in 1974 that his approval numbers started to fall. So I think in that sense, it means it's possible that there is eventually a shoe that could drop that would have more of an impact on Trump than has so far. But it's really a similar dynamic to what happened with Nixon, which was that as long as most of the attention was on his associates with Watergate, his numbers didn't really decline that much. And so far, you know, at least in terms of getting indicted and convicted and that sort of thing, for Trump, it's mostly his associates. And same with Nixon, we're seeing that he hasn't dropped, at least yet, not to say it'll never happen.
I know we were talking, and you did surveys a year and a half ago, very early in the Trump presidency, that already showed more than 40%, and that started to get close to 50%. Of Americans that you were surveying were already in favor of impeaching the president or considering impeaching the president. I assume that number, if you ran the same survey again, is going to be at least pretty similar now and not lower, but is it higher at all? Is this increasing support for talking about impeachment or moving in that direction?
Well, what we saw in the early days of the Trump administration was that a lot of Democrats were willing to give him a chance and weren't ready to just go straight to impeachment. And what we've seen how that's evolved over time is that now most Democrats say, yeah, okay, we're fine with impeachment now. We've seen enough to think that impeachment is necessary. And this is a really interesting issue where I think there's a disconnect between the Democratic base and Democratic elite, because even though most rank-and-file Democratic voters are supportive of impeaching Trump and certainly would be fine with their leaders in Washington pushing that, the leaders in Washington seem not to have very much interest in going forward, at least yet, on that particular tangent. And then I think the other piece of that that's sort of interesting is that even the rank-and-file voters do want impeachment. I don't sense that they're so mad or frustrated with their leaders for not acting on that yet. I was at Netroots Nation in New Orleans 3 weeks ago, and Tom Steyer, the billionaire Democratic donor, best known for climate activism, but has moved towards impeachment, and he got up in front of all these super fired up Democratic activists and talked about impeachment, and the room was pretty quiet. So I think that is sort of a situation where even if people generally want impeachment, it's not necessarily the top thing that they're getting fired up about right now. And I think there's maybe also a feeling that the time will come, and maybe it hasn't come yet, that eventually there are going to be revelations that really will, like, actually make it a possibility. And at that point, it won't just seem like Democrats being difficult and that sort of thing.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, again, you can find them online at publicpolicypolling.com, on Twitter at PPPpolls. A lot more numbers there. Let's turn our attention to local news or state news, or in this particular case, very local news, just down the road, the toppling of Silent Sam, and just the Confederate monument issue in general, what people think should happen with these Confederate monuments that still linger all over the state and the South and the country, and what do voters think, or what do Americans think about protests against the statues, especially ones like Monday night when the statues actually got taken down by demonstrators. I know there hasn't been a public opinion survey in the last 3 days, but what do we know just in general about how people generally think about all of this?
Well, what we found last year when this first really got in the news with Charlottesville is that people are supportive of the middle ground approach of removing the monuments from public display, but putting them in some sort of place where people can go see them. I was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana a few weeks ago, and they took their public display Confederate statue out of downtown Baton Rouge and put it into the museum. You could go see it if you wanted to see it in the museum. So that's the approach that the public supports. If there's a poll that asks if people, you know, are in favor or opposed to Silent Sam being toppled the way it was on Monday, people are going to say they're against it. I mean, I can almost promise that, that you'll see a majority of North Carolinians say that the statue shouldn't have been toppled like that. But I don't think it's an issue that actually, like, has any real political ramifications. Mm-hmm. Last year in the Virginia governor's race and in some Virginia legislative races, preserving Confederate monuments, like, really became a big part of the Republican campaign. Because they saw that people sort of agreed more with them that the monument shouldn't be destroyed. So they decided that was the issue they were going to hang their hat on. And they lost by 9 points in the governor's race and lost something like 14 seats in the Virginia House of Delegates. So it's kind of something where even if most people say, I don't think you should go destroy the monuments, there's more passion on the side of people who do want to destroy the monuments. And at the end of the day, voters are going to vote on health care and education and that kind of thing and not monuments.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, again, publicpolicypolling.com, the website. And I got to wrap up here in a second, but I want to ask one more about the state constitutional amendments now that we've got the General Assembly going back to special session to rewrite the questions for those two amendments that are going to strip power from the governor's office. Public Policy Polling did a survey recently and showed pretty widespread popular support for all six of those amendments that are going to be on the ballot. And I know you asked the question in the form of the question that's going to appear on the ballot. So what do you think about the wording of the question? How much of a difference is that ultimately going to make? And I also know you did the survey before the Nix All Six campaign really got rolling. How much of an impact are you seeing that happening yet? I know we're still a couple of months out.
Well, the only way any of these amendments are going to be defeated is a very strong Democratic effort to both educate their voters against the amendment and to get them to turn out to vote. Because, you know, as we found on that poll, the amendments sound good the way that they're written right now. So if voters go into the ballot box and don't know any different than what they read on the ballot, they're probably going to vote for them because they sound good and innocuous. So it is really going to take a huge education campaign. my sense on what's going to happen with this special session to rewrite the amendments is they'll probably still be able to come up with some way to write them that'll pass legal muster and still sounds good and sounds like stuff that people would vote for if they didn't know any better. So it's going to take a huge task, but I'll just quickly tell you the most interesting thing I've seen in the whole time we've been polling is in 2012, voter ID was on the ballot in Minnesota. We found it starting out with a 25-point lead for passage, and it ended up failing by 5 because the more that voters learned about it, the less they liked it. So we have seen a precedent that if you educate voters enough on some of these amendments that start out with big support, they eventually can turn against them.
Tom Jensen, again, with Public Policy Polling, publicpolicypolling.com, the website. Find them on social at PPP Polls on Twitter. Tom, thank you so much, as always.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.